So we'll discuss some inyane mila. We know there are different parts to the mitzvah of mila. There's the mila, the cutting off of the arla, the foreskin. And then there's a second part to the mila. It's known as the priya, which is revealing underneath. It's a thin membrane, another type of skin. And the Mishnah tells us in Shabbos, mol v'lo para ki'ilu lo mol. One who does the mila without the priya, it's like he didn't fulfill the mila. That's a discussion in the commentators, how far you take it. Some weren't literally. If you do mila without priya, you've done nothing. You have to go back and regroup. And others say, no, it's not that you didn't do anything. You haven't fulfilled your mitzvah bishrei muso in its optimal form, and hence you have to continue doing the priya. The interesting, as we know, as we mentioned, we do the mitzvah of mila because it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, not because it was given to Abraham. As the Rambam tells us in the Perush HaMishnayos, that we learn out history and ethics of Avraham, but mitzvahs we only learn out from Moshe Rabbeinu. As Chazal tell us throughout, Ein Navi Rashai L'chadesh Davar Me'ata. Navi has no right to make up a new mitzvah. Under temporary times, what they call a Horashah, it's permitted, but that's not a mitzvah, that's a Horashah, like collecting the booty from Egypt when they left, or maybe from Kriyas Yamsuf, but a mitzvah is only something given by Moshe Rabbeinu. So Tosis is bothered, was the mitzvah of Priya given at Har Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu? We know the mitzvah of Milo was given at Har Sinai. What about the mitzvah of Priya? The first time we find mention of the mitzvah of Priya is in the Sefer Yehoshua, in the book of Joshua. When the people come into Eretz Yisrael, he says something like, Himola Shenis, I got to do now Mila a second time. Simple pshat in the Pasuk is, the Jews for the past many years were very remiss in the mitzvah bris Mila, either because it was a danger to do, maybe they were justified, or maybe they were just lax in the mitzvah, depending how you learn. The bottom, whatever their issues are, they didn't do a Mila. Only Shevet Levi did, because they were willing to take more of a risk in terms of that. And also we see in this week's parasha, that was part of the issue with Moshe Rabbeinu, giving that they almost killed Moshe because he didn't give a mila to his child, etc. So they point out that Priya isn't first given into your time of Yoshua. We just finished saying, Ein Navi Rashi L'chadesh Dava Me'ata, did Yoshua introduce the mitzvah of Priya? It wasn't given to Moshe Rabbeinu, or at least we don't know if it was. So what do you mean, how could Yoshua make up a new mitzvah? In fact, so Tosfos struggles with the question, and he says that no, I mean, it's probably a halacha of Moshe Misinai. And no, the mitzvah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, but God told Moshe, for whatever the reason, you would not fulfill the mitzvah of Priya until after the Jews enter the land of Israel. And therefore, that's why we find it later by Yoshua. But Tosis concludes, clearly it can't be a mitzvah that Yoshua made up, because that violates all the principles. And we find that many times in the Gemara, when the Gemara quotes a source for a mitzvah from a pasuk in Nach, and the Gemara asks, what do you mean? How could you, so either they say it's not smachta, it's halacha, Moshe, we say it's not an option to say a Navi made up a mitzvah. So therefore, Tosis is forced to come up with different possibilities. But the bottom line is, today we have the mitzvah of Mila, and certainly today we have the mitzvah of Priya. Well, at what point Priya became, you know, it seems at the time of Yoshua, it came into play, but we've had that by other mitzvahs as well, that the mitzvah didn't apply until they entered the land of Israel. What other mitzvah, yeah?
I don't understand how the meaning of that. they didn't do Priya to begin with. That Moshe didn't. Maybe Mila included Priya and they just didn't bother to say it. The Torah later on did bother to say it.
You know, it's not a Havamina. The Maskana is they didn't do it. It's not a Havamina.
Who concludes? The Gemara?
Tosis concludes based on the Gemara that he says it's describing the reality. The mitzvah Priya did not begin until they entered the land of Israel. So how could Yeshua make up a new mitzvah? So he explains, no, it was given to Moshe, telling Moshe that it's not going to kick in until after the Jews. I'm asking, where else do we find another mitzvah that didn't kick in into Eretz Israel?
Shemitah.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's a mitzvah satul yizbar. It's clearly all the agricultural mitzvahs didn't apply. But what non-agricultural mitzvah? So that we've discussed before, there's a Gemara in Chulin about the mitzvah of Shechita, that at the time in the Midbar, they didn't do Shechita, they did a different form, they did something, but that's why the Gemara's Kasha was in Chulin. What happens if they have leftover meat that was kosher in the Midbar, but now they're about to enter the land of Israel, they're in the land of Israel, and the laws of Shechita fit in, so how could you eat that leftover meat? So it's not a unique case. We find that by other mitzvahs as well. But the bottom line is, it says Mila was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The bottom line is Mila and Priya were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, but Priya didn't become in play until later on when they entered the land of Israel. And in fact, that's a shaila they discuss the beginning of Parshas Vayera by Avraham when he was Lech Lecha, before he was going to do the Mila. So the Pasuk says, it mentions Mamre, and Rashi quotes the famous, why does Mamre get special mention? Because apparently he asked advice for Mamre. So the obvious question is, God tells you to do something, okay, I'm not sure, let me ask a guy if I should listen to God or not, or let me even ask anyone, if God tells you to do Mila, why are you asking Mamre? So there are many different mefarshim. So some answer along these lines, that Avram knew, the Avos were able to intuit all the mitzvahs. So the question was, he knew that later on, Avram, there'll be a mitzvah Priya. But right now, he knew they weren't going to be chayev. He wasn't going to be chayev in the mitzvah of Priya. So his shaila was, should he also do when he does his Mila, should he do Mila alone because that's all he's going to be chayav in? Or should he do Priya as well because he knows that's going to be given to Klaiso later on? But the point being is today it's not a question anymore. The question is at what point Priya kicked in, but there's no discussion. Everyone agrees Mila and Priya are essential to our mitzvah of Mila. So those two parts are definitely essential. Then there's a third aspect of Mila, and that is, or we'll see if it's a third aspect or not, there's something called Mitzitza. Mitzitza is sucking out the blood. Sometimes the third part where a tufei dam, you need blood, you need some blood to come out. But there's an aspect of Mitzitza that you suck out the blood, and it's supposed to be for health reasons, so the blood doesn't coagulate, you don't have whatever the medical issues were during that time. There was an inyan of doing mitzitza. So the question is mitzitza part of the mitzvah of Mila, or is it just purely for health issues? Because the Gemara says in Shabbos, they give a case where a mohel did not do mitzitza, and they fired him. The question is, why fire him? Every time someone does something wrong, you fire them right away. There's no warning. You don't document. What's going on here? You fire the mohel. So the Mefarsh say, because by not doing mitzitza, you're putting the child in suffix sakana. You're putting the child in doubtful danger. Therefore, you don't take any chances with this mohel. You're endangering children. So therefore, you throw them out.
Mitzitza, can it be done on a fast day?
Okay, yeah, because you don't eat the blood anyway. You drink it. But yeah.
Yes. It's not food altogether.
Right.
But it's not food altogether.
Right, it's a separate issue. Yeah, but the answer is yes, we do Mila, and for those who do Mitzitza, which is most of us, you do it even on a fast day. So it's Masha from the Gemara that that seems to be a health issue. It says you fire the mohel if he doesn't do it. So that's a major shaila that continues throughout the generations. Is mila, is mitzitza part of the mitzvah of mila? So some say yeah. The Gemara never says it's only a health issue. This said that if you don't do mila, you're going to get thrown out. Not to say that's the only reason for the mila. Some say it's a halacha l'moshe misinai. Others say the suffix sakana isn't a health issue; it's a spiritual issue. Suffix sakana, you become an apikoris. You become a heretic, or until some new achronim point out. But the simple pshat in the Gemara, it seems to be a health issue. And in fact, the Teferis Yisrael, among others, some gedolim later on said, since mitzitz is only a health issue, they thought, and since today we have antiseptics, and that's not even today, I'm talking about hundreds of years ago, there's no longer reason to do mitzitz anymore. Because if you assume mitzitz is only for health issues, so today with modern medicine, we have much better medical ways of making sure the child doesn't get infected and there's no blood clots. And the Hasidim were not very happy with the Pharisees. It was one of the couple of things he said, they don't learn his sefer because of that. They feel very strongly about mitzitz, and not only mitzitz, but mitzitz b'peh. So there's a discussion whether you need mitzitzah at all, but that's basically, everyone assumes that we basically do mitzitzah. But within mitzitzah, then you have another machokas, whether mitzitzah specifically has to be done b'peh. Does it have to be with your mouth? Or no, or mitzitzah b'kli. Or it could be done through a vessel. You don't have to actually put the mouth directly on the plate. So in fact, that's what they point out. They say, the Rav Salavation used to always say, he was much more lenient than his father. His father, if a mohel tried to do mitzitza b'peh, he'd throw him out of there. For me, I think you should do mitzitza b'kli, but I'm not going to throw out the mohel if he does. Interesting.
Actually against it.
Yeah. Interesting that, you know, he's tolerant to someone who's more strict than him. Interesting way of looking at toleration. But so they point out. So that's a question today. So obviously. So even though today it touches on a fundamental question, which we're going to have to go into another time as well, is let's say modern science says today something is healthy or not healthy, or dangerous or not dangerous, and from the Gemara it says it is dangerous or it's not dangerous. So what do you do when you have a conflict between what science tells you today, what the doctors tell you today, versus what the... Because Gemara says mitzitza was necessary for the health of the child. And today, doctors say it's not. Modern science says, and that's not a new thing, you know, and we assume, so some achronim say, well, you have to go l'chumra in both cases. In other words, if the Gemara says it's a danger, and science, so either way, if one of the two say it's a danger, we view it as a danger, because we're not going to take other chances. And others, you know, and others say no, that we follow the rabbis of the Gemara. What did the rabbis of the Gemara do? They followed the doctors of that time. So, to me, if I want to follow, so some, you know, some say, well, whatever the Gemara says, that's it, and the discussion. Others say, no. The rabbis of the Gemara went with the modern medicine. So if they were around today, they would go with what the modern medicine. In fact, the Rambam leaves out, Rambam, who was a doctor, left out many Gemaras on medicine, because he said that it doesn't apply to either.
You say the Pharisee doesn't apply now.
Yeah, well, he left in Tosus, there's a Gemara in Moed Kut, and a Gemara something that says, when's the best time to eat fish? Do you know when the healthiest time to eat fish is? Right before it spoils. And let's say fish lasts for a week. I'm making it up. So you know what? That sixth day, in a couple of hours in, get that fish right before. So obviously, Tosus writes, so that doesn't apply today. In fact, we say the fresher the fish, the healthier. So therefore, Tosus writes, Nishtana HaTeva. Obviously, things have changed. You don't follow the Gemara, which talks about something that obviously is clearly against what science says today or modern medicine. So, in fact, you have another case by me also. The Mishnah says, so certainly, if mitzitz is supposed to be for health reasons, How much more so if by doing mitzitzah you're going to put the kid in danger? That was a big case in Muncie not many years ago, where a couple of kids died from after the circumcision. There was an issue with herpes on the mouth, because I'm not a doctor, but they say that any...
Did they fire that moment?
That's a good question. The question is if you connect it to that. But it's something about if once you're 50, it's like over a 50% chance that you could contact that someone has the potential to have herpes and you could give it. So that was a whole big. You know, today, I mean, there are those among the Hasidish Mohalla Mudafka say mitzitza bepeh shluchei mitzvah ain't on the zakin. That's what we have a principle. If someone's on the way to do a mitzvah. You can't. So too, specifically, if you're doing a mitzvah, so they say no matter what, if you're doing a mitzvah, you don't have to worry. And they say it's halacha Moshe Misinai, mitzita bepeh at all costs. And many other rabbanim say today, no. Number one, it's a child if you need mitzita at all, because if it's only on health reasons, we could find antiseptics that will do the trick. And even if you tell me you have to do mitzita, then do it bekli. Do it in a way where you don't put the child in suffix sakana. In fact, there's another halacha by Mila, machitin es hakatan. You wash the katan before and after the meal. You had to heat hot water, if necessary, on Shabbos. So what about Bizman Hazeh then? The Gemara says that you're allowed to heat hot water for the safety of the katan. But today, even the Beis Yosef writes in the 1500s that didn't apply. It's not a danger anymore. So the Beis Yosef writes, you can no longer heat up hot water anymore, because since we know today, you don't need that. During that time, in order to keep the child safe, you should heat up the water before, but if you didn't, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. But Bizman Hazeh writes, you can't machal Shabbos anymore because it's not a danger. So that's a discussion. So many write that Bizman Hazeh, we go with what modern science says, and therefore, if it's no longer a danger, you're not allowed to machal Shabbos. In the case of mitzitzas, if you're doing it pekli other ways, you're not really. And by the case of heating that water, it's talking about chilul Shabbos. So obviously, it's more of an issue. But in cases where we'll see it's not a conflict, so then if you want to be strict and there's no harm, so then there's room to be machmir. But here, by being machmir and heating the hot water, you end up being mechal Shabbos. Even the Beis Yosef already writes that Bizman Hazeh, we know we don't need the hot water, and therefore it's also to be mechal Shabbos. By mitzitza, if you do it bakli, it's not a danger, and therefore if you want to continue doing the mitzvah of mitzitza, this ties into also the question we'll go into maybe next time, or the issue of not eating fish and meat together, because that's something the Gemara says is a danger. Yet if you look around today, all modern science says, what are you talking about? There's no danger of having fish and meat together. So that's a separate. By the way, the Rambam left out that Gemara, and the Magen Avraham says it doesn't apply today, but we'll give a hoshiyah on that.